Support for WYPR comes from the Park School of Baltimore's Saturday morning Rise and Shine activity sessions for children 3 to 5 years of age. Nature expedition through the Park School woods is April 20th. parkschool.net/shine.
So I joined the weightlifting team. That was pretty awesome. I enjoyed that a lot. And with that, about the same time, I became a football manager. It's a water boy. I was a water boy and did towels.
I didn't know anything about softball, and I just did not care at all about softball. But he was like, and I was like, I don't know about this. And he was like, you can get a tan, and you can get a boyfriend. And I was like, sold.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Stoop Storytelling Series podcast. I'm Laura Wexler.
And I'm Jessica Henkin. And this week on the podcast, Bad News Bears, two stories about men trying to make a big impression on the field.
Which they do, but not necessarily in the way that they wanted to. So this first story is really one from deep in the archives. So Heath Harrison, oh my gosh, he's probably married, has kids, and is about to retire right now.
That's correct. Anyway. Yes. He's running for president.
But this is a great story about a guy in the South trying to just make an impression, and the fallout from that.
So high school, 1995 to 1999. This is in the South, but beach community South, very, very stereotypical beach community. But I also came there just to, I went to Gulf Breeze, moved to Gulf Breeze, went to Gulf Breeze High School about 2 months after leaving where I had pretty much grown up from, which was Ocean Springs, Mississippi on the Gulf Coast, really only about 2 hours down the road, but still two totally different worlds. So it was kind of a combination of like, how do I combine like the four-wheel drive culture with board shorts? And so I did both. So anyways, this is a time when amazing bands like Pearl Jam and Stone Temple Pilots, started to kind of go into the shadow of bands like the Spice Girls and songs like the Macarena. So I spent high school trying to figure out, you know, who I'm supposed to be and all that kind of stuff. I didn't really, know exactly where that was going. I got along with a lot of people, didn't know if I was supposed to be in one group, all groups, or what. There's two things that kind of stood out. One was that I didn't like the popular scene. I was well known, but I wasn't popular. I liked to actually antagonize the popular kids doing outrageous things that just kind of embarrassed them or annoyed them a lot. I enjoyed that. And the other thing is, and it kind of goes hand in hand, is I like to do outrageous stuff. I liked to do outrageous stuff to kind of just get like a really natural reaction out of people. It's pretty self-serving. But so anyways, those two things stood out. And that brings me to the story of, well, what do I do? What do I do with my time? I didn't make the soccer team, but I do want to be in shape. So I joined the weightlifting team. That was pretty awesome. I enjoyed that a lot. And with that, about the same time, I became a football manager. It's a water boy. I was a water boy and did towels. And stuff like that. So I loved it, though. I really did. It was cool. If you've ever seen like Friday Night Lights or Varsity Blues or anything like that, you kind of get an idea. I also was a water boy when the movie Water Boy came out. That was cool. I did both. I was around the football players a lot. Did that whole thing. That's where the story takes place. We're doing two-a-days. It's Florida. It's hot. Two-a-days is what you do during the summer when there's no school. So there's, you do football practice twice a day. It's nuts. It's really crazy. So I'm like doing the whole like water thing and the towel thing and doing all that. And so, but there's there's time to kill, and there's like four or five. I think there's five other like girl manager, other. So I've had series of operations since high school. No, I've had, so there was actually five girl managers in addition to my manly self. And there's always, like, you know, the people that are hurt, and so they're hanging out with you. There's, like, the people, you know, like the trainer and stuff like that. So you always have people over there. There's people getting water. There's people in downtime. So, you know, that was my stage at the time. And so, you know, what can I do that's outrageous? It's a hot day. I don't really feel like doing anything. So let's just joke around. And all of a sudden, so we have water. We have Gatorade. And a Gatorade, of course, attracts bees. So I get one of the bees on my finger, and I'm like, got a bee on my finger. And people are like, you're dumb. So I was like, that's not really true. Watch this. So I go, ow. I stuck, you know, like the bee on the tip of my finger. I stuck my finger in my mouth, then like pretty far down my throat, pulled it back out. And there's the bee still in the finger. Like, what the heck just happened? People are pretty bothered by that, but like just kind of thinking I'm, you know, funny, but also kind of annoying and all this kind of stuff. I loved it. And so I was like, ha ha ha, I'll do it again. Negative reinforcement's better than no reinforcement. So I was like, ah. And the bee was not on the end of my finger. I had not closed my mouth yet. And there's that like moment that are like, what do I do? I don't feel it. I don't know where it is, but it's not on my finger. So I like grab the closest thing to me, which is like, you know, the water bottle. So then I just take the water and I just literally go through an entire water bottle drinking it, like really drinking it, like, but like kind of doing like what you learn later in college, like how to open your throat so that just all goes down. And so I literally go through one of these bottles and then I'm just like, and just like grab another one. Still going. At this point, like, I have kind of a crowd because the few people that did watch me are like rolling in the sweet, sweet justice that's going on right now. And other people are starting to come up. Anybody that's going to get water anyways, you know, they're coming up, like, what's going on, getting the story. Everyone's like laughing. This is like really freaky, but it's that guy. So I go through like a second one, literally go through an entire second thing. I don't know how my body at the time could hold that much water. But so I do that and then I stop, right? I'm done. Like, I'm like, surely that was enough to like wash that bee wherever it was all the way down into my stomach with the stomach acid, right? That'll eat it up and like I'll never think about it again. And so I stop and I'm like, and if you've ever had chips, like sometimes you don't like chew the chips all the way and like it gets caught, you can, like, it'll go, when it goes down, like it scratches the throat when it goes down, like, you know, anywhere along there, like a Dorito or something like that. Doritos, feel free to send me like bags of Doritos for free now, for the plug. But anyways, just kidding. So it started to feel like that. And I was like, well, it's just something stuck in my throat. Or like, I mean, like, it's, that's how what it did on its way down. But then if you've ever held like a beetle or like a roach bug crawls across your foot or something like that, that feeling of like each individual little like exoskeleton leg is just like, beep, beep, boop, 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 boop. And the bee's just like, I went down, I'll go back up. So he starts literally like this little like divot area in your neck, you know, like under my Adam's apple because I'm a guy, and starts working its way back up. Like literally, this is what's going on. This bee is and it's successful. Like it's really moving up my throat. And so I grab more bottles and keep drenching. And I'm worried, like, I'm not allergic to bees, but I'm thinking, like, okay, I don't have to really be allergic for, like, oh, bee sting in the throat, oh, can't breathe anymore. How did Heath Harrison die? Oh, yeah. A bee? Ooh, so he was, like, allergic? No, he stuck a bee down his throat, and now he's dead. So I'm going through this, and so, you know, all these things are racing through my mind. Like, there's just people just laughing at me so hard, and I want to laugh at myself because, like, I can kind of step away from situations and be like, if that was not me, that's so freaking awesome. Like, that's so funny. But I'm not really laughing in that moment. I'm really kind of afraid. I do like, you know, I don't know, I finished that water bottle and then like stopped and just waiting for that, like, you can feel every single leg that I'm, every single leg. And it really got like close to like where the base of your tongue starts. Like I really felt it that high. And then, but yeah, so anyways, I was successful. I washed it down I didn't feel the crawling sensation anymore. I wasn't dead yet and all that kind of stuff. And then what's cool is like 13 years later, I get to come talk about it in front of like a bunch of people I don't know. And so it was really definitely worth it. Thank you.
I mean, it's been a long time.
It's been 13 years since
I
told that
but
story.
I remember him telling that story about the bee and the feeling of it. And
just the, I mean, the audience, they were in tears with laughter.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I worked with him at the time at Kenny Krieger, and I just remember being like, you got to tell that story on this thing I do, the stoop. And I remember him being like, I have no idea.
But yeah, he was such a natural storyteller. Yeah.
Support for WYPR's podcasts comes from Catholic Charities. Celebrating its centennial in 2023, Catholic Charities is the largest private provider of social services in Maryland. Learn more about this movement to change lives at cc-md.org.
So this next story of Bad News Bears is from R. Eric Thomas, who is a playwright and actually hosts The Moth in various iterations.
He's a television writer. He wrote for Better Things, one of my all-time favorite TV shows. If you've not watched it, you gotta watch it, especially if you're a woman, especially if you're mom.
Yes to all that. And he, it was so great to have, he had been like on our radar forever to have at a show. And he shared this story at a show we did last spring called Never Have I Ever. So it's a yarn. It's just fun.
Take a listen.
I've never been particularly butch. A wave of shock goes through the audience. I was one of those people, one of those kids, even when I was a little kid, people would like stop me on the street and be like, gay. And I'd be like clutching my pearls as a 7-year-old. It was very confusing to me. Even after I came out as an adult, I was still like, what's going on with the rest of the world? And as an adult, people would call me gay or another word that I don't, you all know what word I'm talking about. Friendly. No, I'm just kidding. And they would shout it out at me. One time I was coming home from the gym. I was wearing, baggy like sweatpants and like a t-shirt, like a sweaty t-shirt. It wasn't sweaty, actually. I was just standing on the treadmill watching Jeopardy for a half an hour. And then I came home. Anyway, so I'm standing on the street corner on my way home, and he's like in this nondescript outfit, and this guy drives up in a pickup truck, and he's like, gay. And I was like, first of all, how did you figure this out? And two, where do we go from here, beloved? Like, what are we doing? And he got to that point. I was around 28 years old at this point, and I was like, you know what? I think I'm tired of this. I'm not unhappy about being gay, but I am perhaps curious what happens if I'm not the kind of person where everybody is always shouting it at me. And what I decided was, I was like, oh, you need to be more masculine. You need to get some masculinity in your life. And I was like, where do you go, for that? the store. And so, but I had this roommate. I was living with this roommate who was also, he was also gay, but he was very butch. Like, he would work out all the time, and he was always doing meal prep, whatever that is. And he was obsessed with sports. I was living in Philadelphia at the time, and he had two cats. He was obsessed with the Phillies and obsessed with the Eagles, and he had two cats, and he named them after two Phillies players, and Cole Hamels and Chase Utley. And so when I moved in, he was like, this is Cole and Chase, and I was like, those names sound like people who are going to haze me at a frat. I can't refer to cats by these names, so I renamed them Susan Sarandon and Jennifer Hudson, and that made a lot more sense to me. Thank you. Those are cat names, okay? Like, let's be serious. So anyway, but he was very popular, and he seemed very secure, and he was very butch, and I was like, well, maybe I should be like him. And so, like, and when the summer came, and he was like, hey, my team is looking for another player, I was like, here's my key to masculinity. And so in order to be more masculine, I did what anybody would do. I joined the Philadelphia Gay Softball League. No, I didn't know anything about softball, and I just did not care at all about softball. But he was like, and I was like, I don't know about this. And he was like, you can get a tan, and you can get a boyfriend. And I was like, sold. And so I like, but I didn't know anything about how to play. And so I Googled softball, and I went to the Wikipedia, and I learned three things. One, you throw underhand. Two, the balls are bigger. Three, that's what he said. So I go to this game, and I was like, okay, so it's a gay softball league, so just a bunch of girls hanging out, like, shooting the shit. And instead, it was not that. They were very serious about playing softball, which was shocking to me and deeply disappointing. And it was like, they were very serious about everything. They were serious even about being gay. You were only allowed two players who identified as straight on each team. If you had more than two, you're off out of the league. So it was just me and a bunch of very serious, sports-minded gays, and then one straight couple who was like, we're just so grateful to be here. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So, you know, we went through the drills to see what our skills were, and they, you know, obviously my skills were public speaking. And and so they put me in far right field. There was a right fielder, and then I was behind him. I was his understudy. And that was fine with me, because I had these cute little American Apparel shorts on, and I could, like, shout my little jokes about Angels in the Outfield and A League of Their Own. I was like, you heard of Field of Dreams? This is Field of Queens. If you build it, they will come. And I was having a good time, but nobody was really laughing. It was very confusing to me. And then every once in a while, a ball would get by the far right fielder, and I was like, oh, understudy rehearsal. And so then I'd have to, like, get the ball in. And it was very frustrating because they were very serious about winning, and I felt like I was disappointing them. And every time I would not do the right thing, I'd be like, oh, Eric, I'm so gay. And I was yelling at myself in the same way that other people were yelling at me. I was like, this is not what I planned for. Midway through the season, I'm unhappy on the team. Things are not going well. My tan, amazing. But everything else, not great. And they had this coaching session for all players everybody got a score of your ability, and anybody who scored a 7 or below had to go to this little clinic. So obviously, I had the score. I had to go. And I was like, well, this will be my people. This will be a whole bunch of queens just sitting around braiding each other's hair in the outfield. This will be super fun. No, it was a bunch of people who really wanted to get better at softball, which is disgusting to me. So I was like, Eric, you got to get it together. You came here to do this thing. Well, I didn't, but now I wanted to. I was serious about it. And I was like, all right, you are going to learn how to be better at softball. And so there was this butch lesbian woman who was standing at home base, and she was doing a batting clinic. And so I when it was my turn to come up to bat, I was like, okay, I'm going to impress her. I'm going to impress everybody here. I'm going to do it. I can do it. I can do this. I can do this. And so they throw the ball, and I'm concentrating. I'm holding the bat, and they throw the ball, and it comes right across the plate, and I swing hard, and I miss hard. I miss so hard. I swing so hard and miss so hard that my foot pops up like when they kiss in the movies. I did a little spin. And the lesbian coach, she was like, well, that was an attempt. She was like, she said to me, she's like, listen, honey, that swing was a little gay. Let's figure out how to shift it. And she said, what you want to do is you want to grip it a little tighter. And I was like, that's what she said. And she was like, you want to stick your butt out. And I was like, and she's like, you want to wait a little longer to hit it. And I was like, okay. Focus, focus. No more double entendres for just 1 second. And so I did it. I gripped it a little tighter. I stuck my butt out. I waited a little longer to hit it. The ball came across the plate. And I did, and I hit it. And I watched it fly over to right field. And I realized in that moment that she described my swing as gay, but my swing was gay, and she was gay, and I was gay. We were all gay. That was the point. That was why we're here. And it wasn't the same as when people were lobbing the word at me from the street. And it also wasn't the same as when I was lobbing it at myself, standing in right field, hating myself for who I was. It was different. She was gay. I was gay. The swing was gay. Everybody was gay. The cat hanging out was gay. Everybody was gay. And I turned to her, I was like, I had the best realization. And she was like, can you run around the base, please? So I did. I went back to my team. I was like, I have had a discovery. I never hit another ball that year. Did not do it.
And I eventually ended up quitting the team, with my regards, and the next year I came back as a cheerleader, because masculinity is a drag. Thank you.
Did you ever play softball?
Yes.
I could definitely see that.
Yeah.
You definitely am strong.
Yeah.
What is it's giving softball. That's what they would say on social media.
Oh.
If there was a picture of you.
Oh. I don't, what do you mean?
It's a way. It's a way that they say it.
Oh.
The kids.
Okay.
It means like if you saw a picture of me, they'd be like, it's giving sexy, you know?
Oh.
But like for you, they'd be like, it's giving softball.
Really? Huh. Well, I guess we'll let our listeners decide if that's a fair characterization or not. Okay, so
it might be Silver Fox for me.
We've got a lot of live shows coming up that we would love for y'all to attend. Please find out about them at stoopstorytelling.com. Meanwhile, we will see you back here with more stories from The Stoop.
Thanks for listening.